God alone is our refuge and hope, our shelter and protection. From our very first breath to our last, God's love and compassion never fails. So come, lift your voices in praise to God. Bear witness to God's acts of mercy and love. Proclaim God's glory to all who will listen. Let's worship God together.
If you take your blue hymnals and open it to number 343, 343, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. If you're able to, let's stand as we begin our worship with a song.
Good morning and welcome. A special welcome to little Cruz, Ellie's little guy. He's very tiny. I invite you all to stay seated or stand and take a moment to greet the person around you. I'll give you a couple minutes. So nice to see everyone today. Now that you've said hello to everyone, are there any guests that need to be introduced or want to be introduced today? All right. I do have a few announcements in the bulletin to highlight. There's a few. Number 1, 2, and 3 are prayer requests. So our condolences go out to Ursula and Ingo Zapp and their family on the passing of Ursula's cousin, Marianne. And number 2, continue to pray for Louise Lage as she heals and recovers in the hospital. Number 3, also keep McKee and Schrader families in your prayers as well. And also some thank yous in the bulletin. Margaret Kankel would like to thank everyone for the cards, calls, and prayers and well wishes. And the Hirschfield, Cron, and Barjack families would like to thank the willing helpers for all that they've provided. So you can read those, the rest of them, at your own leisure. If you turn to number 8, Yeah, take a look at number 8. A candidate is coming August 9th, so that's next Sunday. So make sure you come so you can listen and vote. And moving down to number 9, our church is collecting canned and dry goods in August for Union Gospel Mission. Donations will be dropped off in the containers marked Union Gospel Mission, so you can't miss them. And they'll be in the foyer and the education wing. And the last one I'd like to highlight is number 10. Sunday school volunteers are required for next season, so please sign up. This is the request I had to say. And so if anyone else has any announcements they would like to share or anything for sharing time, we'd be happy to bring a mic to you. Okay. Linda? I'll get Gary to bring it over. Or Aaron.
Is it on? Yeah. Some of you know that Dale was in the hospital. Some of you don't. I didn't put anything in the bulletin last week because I didn't know what to put in the bulletin because I didn't know what was wrong. He has what's called a flutter. So his heart rate was quite high. So they put him on medication. They've done all the tests. And he's golfing this morning, so there's no sympathy, none, from his wife, should he come home and be tired. It's as long as he takes care of himself and stays on his meds, I'm sure he'll be fine. But I just wanted everyone to know that everything's good.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else? All right, then I would love to invite Rudy back up as he plays for worship music.
Take some time as the people of God to bring our concerns and our joys to Him together. Let's pray. God, it's your family at North Caledonian Mennonite Church. We've come together today, first of all, to thank you. Thank you for the way that you've loved us and cared for us. Thank you for family, for friends, for health, for food, for jobs, for the many, many things that you have given. We are so grateful. And thanks most of all for sending your Son Jesus to teach us the way, to invite us to forgive us and to embrace us as your children. Thank you for grace. God, we also come with issues on our heart. We are grateful for new life. We think of little Cruz and thank you for the way that he is doing well. With Elia, she continues to love and nurture him as he grows. Thank you for family that is supportive. God, we pray for those who have said goodbye to people that they love and care for. Wrap your arms around them and may their friends and family stand close. We look at those in care homes and we know that the days can be long. And so be with them as well. Help them to feel your nearness. We are grateful for the wonderful homes that are there, for the care given. We know that the days still get long. We think of our larger world, the things that are going on. Be with the Canadian government as they prepare for elections in the near future. God, we are grateful for our country and trust that the government will, this will be an opportunity for them to listen well to the people, to respond to the issues that are very important to all of us. For those in the larger world who go through difficulties, we ask that you would be with them. Those living in refugee camps, those living without enough food, those with violence that they don't know what the day will bring, those who live with abuse and racism and all those things. God, we long for the day when that will be gone. Help us to do our part. We are grateful for the organizations that are involved, bringing care and need and training and respect to these folks. God, we have come today to open ourselves up to be a part of your kingdom. And so we ask that you would tap us on the shoulder as we worship you, to empower us to be your people, to build your kingdom wherever that might be, encouraging our families or working at the MCC store or writing letters or contributing or whatever it might be, that you would help us to be faithful in the building of your kingdom. Amen. Oh, I'd like to invite the children to come to the front.
So glad you're here today. And you, Jacob. I have a story today from a different country. It's from Kenya, which, do you know where Kenya is? Okay. Kenya is on the continent of Africa. And I like stories from other countries because they teach us different things. So this one has a little boy in it called Adika. Can you turn the page, please? Okay. And his mom. And I'm just going to tell it, so if you want to read it afterwards, it's got lots of details. So Adika and his mom, and Adika is an excited boy. He's always a step ahead of his mom, and the mom is a little worried because she doesn't have a lot of money. So on this particular day, they're excited because they're going to the market, and they're going to buy something. So on the way, Adika says, are you going to be making pancakes today? And he's so excited, and mom says, you knew already that I was making pancakes. You are one step ahead of me. And so then they keep going. Next page. And they meet their old fisherman friend, and the Adika runs up to him and says, we're having pancakes. Come over for pancakes. And the mom goes, anyway, he's going to come. Yes, he'll come. And so then they keep going to the market, and they meet these two friends who are looking after cows, and he says, come for pancakes. Mom's making pancakes. And so they say, yeah, of course. And the mom is going, and the next page. Thanks. And then the mom says, how many pancakes do you think I'll make? And he says, a little bit and a little bit more. And he's not worried at all, but mom's worried. And then they get to the market. Next page. And Adika runs up to the person selling flour and says, mom's making pancakes. Would you come? And she says, oh, okay, but gives an extra cup of flour. So that's handy. And then they run to the guy who's selling chilies, or the lady who's selling chilies. And he says, mom's making pancakes. Do you want to come? And he says, oh, yes, and gives him the biggest chili he can find. Okay. And all the time, oh, this is the one, yes, they were the chili. And he invites another friend. So on the way home, then mom's saying, well, how many people are coming? And he says, all our friends. He's not worried. So mom starts making a fire, and these pancakes are kind of like tortillas, that things that you wrap things in. And mom's making a fire, and they start making the pancakes, and then the friends start to come. And one friend brings milk and butter. These two guys bring, and this guy had a good fishing day, brings three fishes. This one brings plantains, and they say they're good with pancakes. And somebody else brings some more flour for later and some spices that go with pancakes. And they have a good time sitting under the boa tree, and they eat pancakes and they sing, and some of them sing off key, but they're having a good time making music together. So I have questions for you. I have a question. What, were there enough pancakes for everyone, do you think? Did everyone get enough to eat? Okay. Should the mom have been worried? Okay, maybe a bit. Have you ever done that to your mom? Invited friends over and she didn't know? Okay. So what was Adika thankful for? That he has friends. He's thankful for friends. What else was he thankful for? Pancakes. Okay. Anything else he's thankful for? It's okay. That's good enough. What are you thankful for? Carrie's going to write them on a card. Then we're going to make up a song. Friends. Friends is good. We got that one. Food. Okay. Jacob, what are you thankful for? Moms. I think moms. Okay. Anything else you can think of? Are you thankful for your house by any chance? Okay. Homes. Care. Trees. Okay, good. Trees are good. Can you think of one more thing? Chickens? Chickens. Okay, chickens. Okay. Okay. We're all going to sing God is so good, and then we're going to change some words in it. And whatever Carrie pulls up is what we're going to sing. First, let's start with God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Thank God for pancakes. Thank God for friends. Thank God for food. He's so good to me. Thank God for parents. Thank God for homes. Thank God for trees. He's so good to me.
God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Do you know what the Psalms are about? What are they about? Okay. Do you know that some of them are songs and people would sing them? So we just kind of sang psalms, right? About God and praising God. So let's just bow for a prayer. Thank you, God, for being so good to us, and help us to respond. Amen. You can go back now. Sorry, I don't have any pencils.
Invite the ushers to come forward and Rudolph for the offering.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Thank you, Rudolph, for sharing your music with us. It's wonderful to see so many of you here sharing your gifts with the church. I will be reading Psalm 71, verses 14 to 24. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens, and you who have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion.
Well, today, as we've already heard, we want to look at another psalm. I'd like to thank John Schroeder for sharing this one with us. I sat down with John and Heidi, and we were talking about this psalm, and John was talking about how wonderful it is, the way that God interacts with us in so many ways. And as I listened to you sharing those stories, John, I went home later, and I thought, you took a story which could have been negative, and you made it positive. You chose to see God's hand, and I was really touched by that. So we want to take a few minutes to look at the psalm. Now, the psalms are wonderful in the sense that they mirror what's inside of us. When we are excited or happy or sad or need forgiveness or need to offer forgiveness, we find voice for that in the psalms. And we go there, and somehow it seems legitimate to use the words of the psalm to talk to God. Sometimes we feel a little bad using our own. I find it a little troubling, or a little difficult rather, to preach on the Psalms, and I was trying to figure out why that was. And I think the reason is that the Psalms come from the heart, and sermons tend to come from the head. We've got to try and put the two together a little bit, so I'll give that a shot this Sunday. Psalm 71 is unique in the sense that it is considered to be a psalm written by an old person. Isn't that cool? And so they think that this is a psalm that maybe David wrote just before he died, or maybe Jeremiah. Not sure, but it's an old person that wrote the psalm, and that becomes tremendously significant as we look at what this psalm means. So as the psalm begins, the first 13 verses are a lament. The psalmist is coming before God and says, God, you know, I've got troubles, and help me out, and be the rock. You know, my feet are slipping, and things are tough. And something very interesting happens when we hit verse 14. It's like this fella is complaining, and then he stops and he looks back. You can see this smile coming over his face as he remembers his life and how God has been at work. And he chuckles and says, I will always hope in you, have hope. I will praise you more and more, says verse 14. When I was in youth, we lived in a place called Burns Lake, which is northern BC, and our church connected with a church in southern BC in Mission City, if some of you know the area. It's about 1,000 kilometers apart. And periodically we'd get together and do things. And I remember one time we headed down to Mission City, and one of the activities we did was we went to a local abbey. It was called Westminster Abbey. Probably like a million of those, but at any rate, we went there, and the one thing that sticks in my mind is we walked in the door, and there in the great room was this fresco, right. Fresco is also good, but comes in a can. This was not in a can. This fresco was a huge painting, and it was just breathtaking. And so we went up close and we had a guide there explaining things to us. And he showed us when you come up close to the wall, it doesn't look good at all. Now, some of you may know how frescoes are done. They're painted in wet plaster. And I'm not sure exactly the science of it, but somehow the pigment of the paint interacts with the lime in the plaster and it becomes permanent. You've heard of the Sistine Chapel ceiling done by Michelangelo. That's quite a famous fresco, actually. So we came up close and you could see the edges of the little piece of plaster that had been worked on. It was kind of like cracks almost, and you looked and there was this rough plaster with splotches of paint on it, and it didn't look like anything at all. And you back up and you see the whole thing, and it's magnificent. And I remember thinking, how did the guy know when he had this big a piece of, or whatever it was, to paint, how did he know to put those pieces of paint on there so that it would create this picture? But he did. That's kind of what this psalm is doing. The psalmist starts off looking at the little piece. This is today. Today I'm overwhelmed. Today it's too much. And all we can see is splotches of paint. And then the old guy, he steps back and he thinks about his life. And he sees the whole picture. And he smiles. And he says, ah, yes. God is here. And this little thing that just looked like a mess is part of something that creates a beautiful picture. This little thing, which today has me overwhelmed, will become part of the picture of God at work in our life. Isn't that amazing? The passage reminds us that even when today looks terrible, and this week is too much, and this month, my goodness, how did we make it? When we back up, the larger picture makes sense. There are three things that come out of this for me. The first one, as I read through this material, is that for us to see the picture, we need to be a part of it. To change analogies from pictures to stories. For us to hear the story, we need to be a part of the story. Most of us, I'm assuming, grew up within the context of the church. Many of you right here. And so you've heard the stories. You've heard the Old Testament stories, and just a little caveat here. Sometimes you wonder, why is the Old Testament in the Bible? Read the stories. What do we see when we read through the stories? Time and again, in the middle of a mess, what happens? God sorts it out. And we read the story and we say, oh, so like Daniel had a really bad day when they're lowering him into the lion's den. But it turned out pretty good, didn't it? Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in front of the furnace are saying, not our best day to this point. Turns out pretty good. And we go through the Old Testament and it's full of stories that remind us that God is there even when we don't think God is. So we grew up in the church hearing the Old Testament stories and the New Testament stories. Many of us heard the stories of the early Anabaptists in the 1500s about how they understood the call of Jesus and put their whole life in his control. And they said, we will follow Jesus if it costs us our life, and it did for many. We are also in Sunday school and in church, sat beside and heard stories of what had happened in Russia as the Mennonites came out. And I'm sure there were many days, and many of you were part of that story, there were many days when you did not see God's hand. How do we see God's hand when people we know are dying, when we have no food to eat, when we don't know if we're going to make it? When people we knew starved, where is God? And we heard these stories and we heard them worked out. In the context of the church, we also heard as people shared their stories when they joined the church, when they were baptized, when they dedicated their babies. And we kept on hearing story after story after story that involved God at work. Well, somewhere along the way, we need to make that story ours. We are part of it as we come, But somewhere along the way, we need to respond to the invitation of God to be adopted. God sitting there and saying, I want to adopt you. And he sends, out of absolute love, he sends Jesus to make the way, to offer forgiveness, to show us the way, to invite us. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to step forward along the way somewhere and say, yes, this story, I become part of God's story. And then we, our little, our day, our life becomes part of the larger story of God at work. And even if we can't see it here, we can see it here and here and here. God is at work and it encourages us. The second thing I see in the story is the importance of seniors in the work of God. Now, for those of you who are seniors, and I don't know how to draw the line, in our church, I think you have to be over 90. For those of you who are seniors, God has given you a very, very special job. And that is to pass on the story, the larger story of God's goodness and love to the rest of the people around you. Now, I listened to some of you telling about how you pray with your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You read them Bible stories. You have verses in your house when they come over. Whatever. You have helped out with Sunday school. There's so many things you have done. It is so, so important. You write poetry. You write stories. All these things. It's passing on to the next generation a sense of hope that we don't get lost in this back to the fresco. I was going to say fresco again, but back to the fresco, this little piece of wall with its splotches of color, we don't get lost there. We step back and we say to children, you're going to go through hard days in your life. There are going to be things you don't understand. Sometimes life is totally upside down. Sometimes it just makes you mad. But there's a bigger picture. And in that bigger picture, we see God's love and care and direction. And that we hear from our seniors. We're told in the Bible over and over again. Verse 18 in Psalm 71 talks about how the psalmist wants to pass this on to the next generation. Psalm 78 verse 4 to 6 in the New Living Translation, it says, tell your children again and again and again the story of God and God's love. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Tell your children when you tuck them into bed, when you drive them to hockey practice, when you sit around the fire at the cottage, tell them the stories. And the stories are, again, the Bible stories, but also your stories. There's nothing more powerful than the story of how God has worked in your life. Tell that to your children and to your grandchildren, and they will not forget. And that will encourage them when they feel like all they see is this little piece, and it doesn't make sense. The third thing I see in here, and this I may well be talking to myself for, has to do with attitude. The passage begins, as I mentioned earlier, in verse 14. It says, I will always have hope. I will praise God more and more. What is I will? We want to say, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll praise God if I feel like it or if things work out that way. I will. It's used 9 times in this passage. It's a choice. How we respond and what we see is a choice to a large extent. When I listen to some of your stories of what you experienced in, for some of you, it was in Russia. For some of you, it was health issues or other things that went on. And I hear you, and John, if I may pick you out this time. And as I listen to you, John, talking about where you saw God, I was amazed because it was a choice. You chose to see God in the midst of the difficult situations as you look back. I will have hope. I will praise you more and more. Now we like to think that people have personalities and some people are more positive and some people are negative. And we all know we desperately need the voice of sober second thought in our circles, wherever we are, in the church and in companies and in family groups. But boy, are we in deep trouble if we let them run the show. We need people who continue to put the brakes on and say, are you sure? Let's think this through. We really need them. But we also need the people out front who are the people who say, I will always have hope. And they drive. And we are excited to have them there. We are called to be the people who always have hope. We can choose. I will spare you the psychological studies that have been done. There was actually a fascinating one in 2002. I guess I'm not going to spare you. In 2002, that talked about the response of choosing to be positive. It makes us happier, obviously. Makes us healthier. Do you know that, on average, people who go to church are more positive than people who don't? Hallelujah! That's how it should be, right? That's how it should be. And it goes on to talk about how people who choose to be positive have more friends, are happier, are healthier. All sorts of good things, physiological things, come out of our choice to see the good. And so I read through that, and I kept reading, I will, I will, I will. And I thought, that's for me. I need to choose that. And so when things are difficult, I choose to see God at work. I choose to remember all of the good things that can happen. How do we do that? We've talked about this a few times. And one of the things that I've suggested before is that we keep a diary. At the end of the day, what are a few things where we have seen God's hand? Just write them down. And sometimes you may have to think for a while because it hasn't been a great day. But then we think, I had friends to help me through the day. We had food enough in the house. I have a job to go back to. Whatever the case may be for you, sit down and write that down. It does a couple of things. One of them is you can look back and say, wow, look at this recitation. It's like stepping back and seeing the fresco, right? It also trains our brain. Because pretty soon, and it won't take long, pretty soon throughout the day, you're starting to look, where's God at work? Because you know you're going to write them down in the evening. And so rather than looking for the difficulties, you know, life is hard and it's not fair, and how come everybody else has it easier than me, etc., etc., we begin to look for the ways in which God is there. The passage is saying, look back. Consider your history, the history of North Kildonan Mennonite Church, the history of the Mennonites, of the church, the history of the world. God is good. We're invited to see and embrace that. When we go through a bad day, we need to stand beside someone who isn't and say, tell me again. Tell me again the story about how God is good and continues to walk with us. May you this week feel in a special way God's goodness as you embrace life every day for whatever it brings, to know that you are not alone. It's not by chance. God is there. And God is going to work things out for us.
As a response, we're going to sing Be Still and Know That I Am God. It's the words for the three verses are in your bulletins. If you need them, if you don't know it by off by heart, we'll sing this, the three verses that are written there.
Thank you, Janet. And thank you, Gary, Dad, for that important and powerful message about stepping back and recognizing what God does, has done, and what he continues to do in our life. Go into your week confident of God's strong arms around you, resting in the sweetness of God's love, every moment of the day and night. Amen.
We are ending with a song of praise, number 102 in your blue hymnal. It feels like a good thing to carry with us as we leave this place, is this song of what God has done and our feelings of praise and love and hope. Let's stand as we sing together.